What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Pulse podcast, hosted by myself, Alex Honan, and Kyle Carpenter. We got a bunch to go over today. Obviously, UFC 300 is this Saturday. Oh, man, we're ready for it. We're going to go over the fight night real quick. Pretty much going to only go over the main event. And then just a little bit about what's going on in the MMA world. But let's just jump into Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis. Brendan Allen gets the win, split decision. He seemed pretty certain that he had won that fight. Chris Curtis, I think, also felt pretty confident that he had won that fight. I had Curtis winning it. I thought, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Curtis won just because I didn't give round five to Brendan Allen because of that last 10 seconds. I don't know, watching from TV is different from watching it in person. Like, maybe the judges thought that Chris Curtis was actually, hurt from a strike or something from Brendan Allen. But on TV, it looked pretty clear that he injured something in that scramble. But, yeah, I gave rounds 2, 3, and 5 to Curtis. And I thought, Brendan Allen won round 1 and 4. It was a super competitive fight. I don't mind Brendan Allen getting the win. I really don't. Like, if the judges thought that he won round 5 because of the last 10 seconds, he could have ended the fight if there was 5 more seconds. So, yeah, maybe give it to him because of that. But I don't want to talk about Brendan Allen afterwards calling for the title shot. There's no way he believes he's going to have the title shot next. Absolutely no shot. If I was him, I would have called out, Sean Strickland, which I think he did. He said if he doesn't get the title shot, he wants Sean Strickland. I would have just called out Strickland, definitive, let me get Strickland, because it seems like, they might be going with Paulo Costa and Strickland now, which I don't really, understand either. But, what do you think about Brendan Allen afterwards?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like the call out for the belt. Also, there's a lot of people in line before him who deserve that title shot. I definitely agree that Chris Curtis won. It really sucks with the injury. I mean, afterwards he came out and said that in round 2 he felt like a pop in the hamstring, and then I actually saw some footage of them kind of zooming in on his leg, and you could tell that he was having a lot of issue walking around, which it was weird because when it's not zoomed in, he didn't seem that bad. And then right as he stood up from that scramble, it was confirmed he tore his hamstring, which, I mean, that sucks. That's an injury you never want to see. And unfortunately, that kind of blew it.
With a torn hamstring, which is pretty crazy to think.
Okay. I'm curious, do you think the judges gave it to Allen because of control time then? Because I don't know, because the thing was, he wasn't getting a submission. Chris Curtis is a really tough guy to choke out. I mean, the way he's built, it's very hard to lock your arm under his chin. So, I'm guessing that maybe they saw the control time as a little bit more important than what we felt Chris Curtis was doing throughout the fight. It's just something Chris Curtis and Sean Strickland fight. They train together, and they both, I don't want to say they're one dimensional, but they really stick to just the boxing for the most part. Like, they don't even throw a lot of leg kicks or anything. It's just strict boxing. I thought Chris Curtis did enough. I mean, The volume was there. I'm pretty sure he outstruck Brendan Allen. Brendan Allen just had all that control time, unfortunately. But Chris Curtis didn't have any issues standing up. But I don't want to dwell on this too much. Good for Brendan Allen. Look forward to seeing what he does next. Chris Curtis, hopefully, heals up pretty good. I say let's jump into UFC 300 this Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's been buzzing all week. I'm so excited. There's a lot to talk about. We saw the cool new shorts that we tweeted about.
I
thought they were awesome. I'm curious if we're only seeing the four. Maybe it's only those four. But what do you think, Kyle? I know you thought they're really cool. Max Holloway, the cool floral shorts.
Do something like that, like Brazilian shorts, whatever. But I don't think they will, because I saw a picture of Aljamain Sterling in his fight kit, and they were just regular three white shorts, but they had 300 in gold.
Yeah, they were all chosen to be on this card for a reason.
So even just those, Yeah, even just the regular shorts for 300 seem, mm-hmm. you know, really freaking cool and yep. Better than the normal ones. That's my thoughts on him. I kind of want to just jump it straight into our fight predictions here.
Yeah, they looked really cool. Garbrandt, but Cody gets a big win. You're talking about he's fighting the top 10 guys again. Kyle, what are you thinking about this one?
Man, I'm scared for Cody. My heart wants Cody to win, but my brain's telling me Figueiredo. It's tough because Cody has the ability to knock out anyone in this division. Mm-hmm. The issue I have is one, Figueiredo's takedowns. Not saying that he would finish Cody there, but he could control him. And two, I don't know if Cody's chin is still there. Like, it seems like every time he's been touched over his last, you know, little UFC run here, he's gone down, at least knocked down, you know. His last fight, he didn't get touched. He had a spectacular knockout, which I think he's capable of doing to everyone. His footwork is top-notch. His boxing is really freaking good. But, yeah, I just don't know if he could take shots from Figueiredo and get through it. But, honestly, just straight from the jump, it's going to be a banger of a card, you know, banger of a fight. I'm looking forward to this one as well as all the other ones.
Yeah, the odds right now have Figueiredo at -310 now, at least on the UFC website, and Cody Garbrandt at a +250.
I don't have an issue with it. I think that's probably what it should be. Honestly, I'm surprised Figueiredo's not like -400 because Garbrandt hasn't fought a ranked opponent in years, and Figueiredo, you know, two fights ago he fought for the championship at flyweight. So, like, he's top of the notch. So, yeah, whatever. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Cody always has a puncher's chance. He is skilled. You know, he's got good head movement. He's still quick. You started to see him come back a little bit in his last fight. He looked great. Figueiredo is so dangerous now at bantamweight. Like, the weight cut is clearly, you know, it's so much easier for him. He's able to stay, you know, stronger. I think it's going to go that way. I think it should be a battle. Cody has a puncher's chance. Figueiredo is a huge threat on the ground. I think that's where he might take the fight. I think Figueiredo is going to take the fight to the ground, if I'm being honest with you.
If he's smart.
I think it's going to be about, can Cody get back to his feet?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be like the staple of the fight. I think Figueiredo is going to get it done. I think he'll get a submission finish. That's what I'm going to go with, a sub in round, maybe round two. I think Cody will get through round one fine, but round two, I think Figueroa is going to see where the fight needs to go. Because if he's fine on the feet, I think he'll stay there. But
now if Cody loses this, is it possible he retires?
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of people tweeting today talking about, like, we might see a lot of retirements. And I was kind of like, I don't know about that. But I could see some fighters maybe, but I still don't think so. Jim Miller already shot down. I don't even think the reporter finished asking the question, and he was like, no, I don't plan on retiring after.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked great in his last fight. So, I mean, while we're talking about him, let's jump into it. That's the next fight in the night. Unranked Jim Miller takes on number 14 ranked lightweight Bobby Green. Right now, -180 Bobby Green, +150 for Jim Miller. Kyle, what are you thinking about this one?
I think it's tough stylistically for Jim Miller just because Bobby Green doesn't really take he doesn't really expose himself that much with his strikes. He doesn't really, like, you know, overextend or anything. He just
throws. Yeah, he's strikes. Got, like, a unique head movement.
I'm going to go with Jim Miller, though. My heart's telling me Jim Miller. I'm going to go with it. Even though Bobby Miller, you know, before getting knocked out by Jalen Turner, he was on fire, right? He knocked out Grant Dawson, I believe it was, in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And they took – did he take that one on short notice too?
That – yeah, I think he might have taken that fight on short notice, and he knocked him out in 30 seconds with a straight left, like his first punch. So my heart's telling me Jim Miller. I'm going to go with Jim Miller by screw it. I'm going to go decision. I don't think this one finishes in the distance.
Yeah. Yep. See, my heart says Jim Miller, but besides getting mauled by Jalen Turner, Bobby Green has looked good in his last few fights. And I think he might be in a moment of desperation. I don't want to say desperation because he's still talented. Like, it's not like if he loses this fight, he's never touching a ranked opponent again. But I do think Bobby Green will have a little bit more of a drive to get this one done. I think it should be a respectful bout. You know, I think Bobby Green respects Jim Miller. How could you not respect Jim Miller?
Yeah, I think they both respect each other.
Yeah, so, but I think Bobby Green's going to get it done. I think we're going to see a lot of finishes on,
you think
on
Bobby, Saturday. You think Bobby Green's going to finish this fight?
I think Bobby might finish Jim Miller.
Really?
I could see a knockout or a TKO. I could see it happening. I don't think he's going to submit Jim Miller. Jim Miller is submittable, but I don't think Bobby Green has that. He is good on the ground. I don't think he has that level. Jim Miller's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, he's a mid-20 Ferguson. But we know where Tony is at right now. We love you, Tony. But,
let me say this. Actually, I was hoping Tony would fight on this card so he could retire afterwards no matter what happened. But yeah. I was thinking Tony fight UFC 300. Retire UFC 300, hell of a career, but we're not getting that. So let's just jump into Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez.
Yep, number 4 Andrade versus number 6 Rodriguez. -135 Andrade, +114 Rodriguez. Number 4, number 6, it that gets Rodriguez closer to a title shot with a win. How's Andrade been doing? I know she's kind of like a win one, lose one recently.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. I believe her last two fights, she lost to Erin Blanchfield and Yan Zhao Nan.
Okay. I mean, at least, you know, she is losing to you know, the top dogs in these divisions. So, you know, I'm not gonna hold anything against her for that one.
But then again, you know, Rodriguez hasn't looked great either. She lost her last couple fights. That's actually where I was going. I think Andrade is going to win this by decision because I think if she decides to mix in the grappling, she'll win the fight by decision that way. If it's striking, I don't know how it'll go. They're both, you know, decent strikers. Rodriguez, reason I say this, Rodriguez isn't great in grappling. Once she goes down, she doesn't really get up.
So you don't think Andrade is going to take advantage of that? Like, you know, a possible finish on the ground or anything?
Well, I think Andrade is going to win by decision because she's able to control her on the ground. I don't think she'll get a submission.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's not too common for submissions besides her one highlight one. I think it's what it's going to come down to a decision too. I don't know if I see a finish happening here.
Who do you think is going to win?
I think Rodriguez might come out hungry, but I think Andrade is too. This is tough. I think I might go with Rodriguez by decision. And I think she might be able to outstrike Andrade.
This is also one of the other fighters. I think if Andrade loses, she might retire. Like, I can see that happen. But who knows? We're assuming that, you know, they're financially free enough to do this. You know, who knows? She fights often and a lot. So maybe she was doing that because of financial reasons. Who knows? But yeah, if Andrade loses, don't be surprised if she retires. For the next fight.
Okay. Yeah, our next fight, the last fight on the early prelims. We have a lightweight bout, number 10, Jalen Turner, against number 13, Renato Moicano. Money Mike Moicano. I honestly, I didn't even think this fight was like going to happen. I didn't see this one being added to 300. It kind of just like randomly popped up and they're like, this is the last one on the card. I don't know. I'm not super intrigued. I love Jalen Turner. I think he's really, really good. Moicano just hasn't been impressing me in terms of performance. Like, he's great on the mic. He's great in his post-fight press conference. But, his last fight, I didn't love the performance. It was a little hard to watch. It was a little boring. And then he came on the mic and he was like all hyped and he was like, I want to come to America and I want to, be on the SWAT teams and this and that. And it was like, I mean, the fight right before that, it's like it was a bore fest. It wasn't great. And he's not opening as a favorite. Jalen Turner's opening at a minus 238 right now. That's where he's at right now. White Collins at a plus 195. And Jalen Turner, coming off that brutal, brutal knockout on Bobby Green, that he took on short notice too, which was crazy. How do you think this one's going to go?
I think Jalen Turner's going to get a knockout. Don't get me wrong, Money Moicano on the mic. I think everyone would love to see a post-fight call out from him. But yeah, I think you said it. I think his words are better than his, you know, his fighting. I think he's a good fighter. Don't get me wrong. I think he could beat Jalen Turner on the ground. I don't see him being able to close the distance on him. I think Jalen Turner is too elite of a striker, and he's going to be able to manage the distance correctly. And you know, use it to his advantage. I think he's going to get a KO, TKO. I'm going to say round two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I agree with the KO, TKO. I don't know what's going to happen. I think it depends on how Moicano comes out to start round one. Like, I feel like if he comes out a little over-aggressive, Jalen Turner might catch him early. But if Moicano's a little bit more conservative, I could see it going to round two, round three. Especially if he mixes in the takedowns, I can see him holding Jalen Turner down for a little bit. Jalen Turner's not great always on the ground. I mean, he almost got choked out by Dan Hooker. He got saved by the bell. I think it was in round two. And Moicano is good on the ground. But no, I think Jalen Turner's going to manage the distance. And if Moicano rushes too early, he's going to get caught. I mean, Jalen Turner's just – he's scary. I'm excited to see. I want to see him win, and I'm curious who they would match him up with next. I think this is going to be a good fight.
Well, I think if Jalen Turner wins this, he's looking at the top of the division.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's number 10 right now. If he beats number 13, minus 238 to do it, I think he's looking up maybe Fazeev when he comes back. That's a good matchup. I like that.
I'd say it's either that or maybe, I mean, if Armin loses, maybe they'll both be fighting on this card. So, I mean, that means depending on damage taken, the turnaround could be, you know, roughly the same. So maybe they match those guys 10 against 4. I could see it happening. That's becoming way more common. So why don't we jump out to the prelims? We have, starting with a featherweight bout between Sodiq Youssef, who's number 13 ranked in the division right now, and Diego Lopez, who's been phenomenal lately. I mean, his performances have been flawless, and the odds are really close, actually. Lopez is a minus 142 favorite right now to plus 120. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fun one. What do you think?
I understand why Diego Lopez is the favorite. Youssef hasn't fought in some time here.
Mm-hmm.
And Youssef is a little shaky sometimes, a little inconsistent. But if Youssef comes out and he's at his best, I think honestly he might be top five in the division. Like he's really good. That being said, if he doesn't come out being his best, Lopez is always at his best. I haven't seen a performance from Lopez where I'm like, yeah, he wasn't there today, you know? UFC debuts against Movsar Evloev, ran on short notice, and he almost submitted him like 3 times. So
yeah, that was a really good fight.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to which Sodiq Youssef shows up. Mm-hmm. And if he is at his best, is Lopez good enough on the striking if he can't get him down? That's what it's going to come down to. Now, if Youssef doesn't come out and he's not at his best, then Lopez is probably going to win because, like I said, he's usually on point. So we'll see. We'll see who shows up.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I think if Youssef comes out sluggish or if he starts slow or something, I think Lopez is going to take him down quick and early. And I think he will try and go for probably an early first round finish. You know, the only reason he didn't finish Evloev is simply just because they're both great guys on the ground. That's just what they both like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lopez is hungry and he's chasing a number next to his name. So I think I'm going to go with Lopez with a submission finish.
Yeah, it's doable.
I think that's really my prediction.
It's definitely an option.
Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen Yusuf fight in a while. That might also be why.
Yeah. No, that definitely plays a factor.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's coming off a loss too.
Yeah.
So, it's not great.
Yeah, let's get into the next fight. Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Debut.
Ooh, Kayla Harrison making her debut. I'm excited for this one. Kayla Harrison's, she's a vet, but, like, she's elite. I mean, she's great. Holly Holm is going to definitely be tested. I'm excited for this one, actually. I know Holly Holm hasn't been the most entertaining lately, but I'm hoping Kayla Harrison's going to, bring it out of her. Because, it is UFC 300, the atmosphere, a debut in the UFC. It's like, you don't want to lose. So I think she's going to bring a strong, good Holly Holm out of her. But I think Kayla Harrison is going to come out swinging. But I also think she's going to take the fight to the ground.
That's where she's going
to win. I'm curious to see how the weigh-ins go on Friday.
Yeah.
Because I think Kayla Harrison's like last fight in PFL, she fought at a much heavier weight, I'm pretty sure.
She's never fought at bantamweight. She's only fought at featherweight and lightweight. She's never fought below 135.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because I heard that the weight cut is what was going to be concerning for her. Because I listened to a few of her interviews on the MMA Hour, and it was good. She seems really nice to talk to. Possibly in the future, maybe, who knows. What do you think is going to go down with this one?
Yeah, I think Kayla Harrison, listen, she says she's going to put on a show for the fans, and I believe her. I think she's going to come out and look for a finish. I think this fight goes, there's two ways this fight goes. Kayla Harrison either brings her down and finishes the fight there, or Holly Holm's able to keep distance. And that's where it gets interesting, because we haven't seen Holly Holm try to box in a while. Like, we've seen her try to clinch people. And, if she tries to clinch Kayla Harrison, it's not going to go great. We got a two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo. If you try to clinch Kayla Harrison, you're probably going to go to the ground. So Holly Holm's probably going to go back to her roots and try to box. We'll see how Kayla Harrison fares there. Kayla Harrison is a big favorite. I think she's like -400, -500. We haven't seen her in the UFC, so we'll see if that's warranted or not. But my official prediction is Kayla Harrison's going to get a finish on the ground. I think TKO is probably what it's going to be. I think ground and pound is going to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be a mistake if Holly Holm goes in to try and clinch with Kayla Harrison. Yeah. I think if she does that, Kayla Harrison is going to toss her to the floor, and she's going to possibly either hold her there and wrestle her down for a while, or she's going to finish her.
Yeah, and one quick note, Holly Holm has come out and said, actually, I believe, that if Kayla Harrison misses weight, the fight's off. Doesn't matter if it's one pound, 2 pounds. I think the fight's off no matter what. That being said, I think Kayla Harrison's a professional, right? She's made weight in the Olympics. She's made weight, PFL. I think she'll make weight here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would suck if that were to happen, but that hopefully that doesn't happen.
Well, every fighter says, every fighter says, they get paid to make weight, and then they just fight afterwards. If you don't make weight, you don't get paid. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. I mean, it would suck, but I understand. I think Kayla Harrison's going to get it done in her debut. And then hopefully that will probably fast track her definitely to a title shot. Next is Calvin Kattar, number 8 in the featherweight division, against Aljamain Sterling. Aljo making his debut up there at featherweight. -162 favorite to a +136 on Calvin Kattar. Well, how do you think this fight's gonna go? I have my ideas, but I'll go after you.
Yeah. So my official prediction is Calvin Kattar is gonna win by decision. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets knockout, and I wouldn't be surprised if Aljamain Sterling gets a submission. There's three ways this fight goes.
yep.
Those Aljamain are all Sterling gets him down. he either gets a submission wins by decision, or Calvin Kattar keeps it on the feet and mm-hmm. knocks him out or goes to decision with boxing. I don't think either of them would be able to fare with the other one where they're great at, right? I don't think Calvin Kattar is good enough on the ground to be able to get Aljamain Sterling off his back. Maybe he'll be able to defend the submissions, but I don't think he'll get up from it.
Well, Calvin Kattar's takedown defense is 91%. So yeah, you know, he is definitely good at you know, defending those takedowns, which if he can stuff a bunch early on Aljo, I think that will kind of kill Aljo's spirit a little bit. I mean, because he's not relentless like Merab is. But I think if he stuffs a few takedowns early, Aljo's going to be in for a night. And I could definitely see Calvin Kattar either just winning the points in terms of volume and punches or getting a knockout finish. We know Aljo can be cracked, so who knows? I mean, this is going to be a fun fight. Aljo looks absolutely insane at 145.
He looks massive.
He looks scary at 145.
I do want to say this. I'm very interested. What I'm looking forward to in this, obviously everyone's going to be looking for a takedown defense. You know, who is he able to get to the ground? Is Calvin mm-hmm. able to stay up? I'm really interested to see the clinch, right? Because we know Aljo, if he's not able to get to the ground, he's going to try to clinch. Calvin Kattar's clinch game, his elbows are insane. Like, he has some of the best elbows I've seen. What he did to Giga Chikadze was it was brutal. Like, those elbows are crazy. Yeah. Now, I'm not comparing Giga's, you know, clinching and ground game to Aljamain Sterling's, but it's something to pay attention to. Aljo just got knocked out by, you know, O'Malley. O'Malley's a great counter striker and it was a beautiful shot. Calvin Kattar, you know, is a bigger man than O'Malley and, mm-hmm. you know, has more power in those hands. So, I think the clinch game, that's what I'm looking for, right? Who's able to do better there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a good one because, you know, Aljo's weakness tends to be a good boxer who can, you know, stop the takedowns. And that's exactly what Calvin Kattar is. I think Kattar's going to get it done. And I think Aljo will be fine staying in the featherweight division. I think he should stay there. He looks great at 145. And we know he's strong. So,
I do want to just say for the record, we're mm-hmm. both from Long Island. We're rooting for Aljo. We like Aljo a lot, but when we make these picks, we're just giving, you know, what we think is going to happen in the fight. I want Aljo to win. I would love to see Aljo be champion 145. I think it'd be sick.
Have a belt back
on. We're just giving our takes on the actual fight itself, not the people.
So sorry, Aljo, we love you. But next light heavyweight bout, the last one on the prelims, Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rakic. Number two, number five, odds are very close to even. Rakic actually opened up at a favorite. I think Yuri's going to get done. I think he looked good against Pereira. He didn't look bad. He got caught with, you know, the same punch everyone gets caught with against him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the evil left hook that just puts everyone asleep, and then he caught a bunch of elbows to the side of the head, and then he got finished by a great. So, you know, I don't think his chin's broken. I think he's going to come back strong. The samurai spirit is there. I think he could actually finish Rakic, because now Rakic was doing a little bit of trash talking today, and Jiří didn't like that.
Yeah, so
call him a fake samurai.
I mean, Rakic, I kind of think of him as like almost. He's almost at a title shot. He almost beat Jan, got injured. Like, he's almost done so many things and then like fall short for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both are coming off a loss.
Yeah, Rakic hasn't fought in what, 3 years? I think it's been 3 years, maybe two. So I think Jiří should be the favorite. And the reason why I'm a little torn in this fight is because Jiří leaves his chin out in the open. And he does get like...
Yeah, he also fights with his hands down.
Every single fight he's fought in the UFC, he's been cracked in. Like, you can't point to a fight and say he hasn't been in trouble in those. He came out So in his UFC debut against Volkan Ozdemir, he got cracked early and then knocked him out in the second round. second fight against Dominic Reyes, he literally admitted to being out cold for like 10 seconds. Yeah. And he just...
yeah, he like got... What was it, like a kick or something from the ground?
It was an up kick, yeah. And he came out and said he was out cold from it. But, you know, he woke up in top position, so just kept going. And then he fought Glover and was going to lose that fight. 20 seconds left. Submitted him. Great fight. One of the best of the year. That was my fight of the year. And then he got knocked out by Alex Pereira. So, listen, it's winnable for Rakic. Rakic is a really good fighter. I'm just going with Jiří because of activity and because I know he's able to overcome those tough moments in these fights, and I don't know if Rakic is able to do that. And, you know, for that reason, I'm taking Jiří.
Yeah, I like Jiří a lot. I love his style because it's just so weird. It's just so unorthodox. It's as far from orthodox as you could get.
Yeah.
And I'm just taking a look at this. Okay.
Yeah, next fight's the main card.
I think it would be... What'd you say?
Next fight is the main card, Bo Nickel. Cody
Brundage. Yep. Alrighty. Middleweight bout. Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage. Everyone was giving their opinions that this fight should not be on the main event. On the main card, I mean. Which I understand, but it's like... You're going to watch the entire card if you're watching 300. It doesn't matter who's on what part of it, whether you pay for it or whether you don't. But Bo Nickel opening up a massive favorite, per usual, against Cody. Honestly, I might throw some money on Cody Brundage just in case. You know, who knows? We've seen a few hype trains get killed recently.
$10.
Not that I think Bo Nickel is going to lose. I think Bo Nickel's probably going to do what he always does and probably get a first round finish. Cody Brundage he's coming off a win. Oh yeah. He slammed the dude on his head. Yep. Yeah, that was his last fight. When he slammed the guy on his head. That was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But I think this could be a fun fight. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think if Cody Brundage is actually able to fight off Bo Nickel early, we could be in for a fun fight to open up the main card. How do you think this one's going to go, Kyle?
Bo Nickel's finishing this fight within 2 minutes. Cody Brundage, he hasn't been impressive over his last couple fights. He had the slab knockout. That's not happening with Bo Nickel. Not only is he not going to slab knockout him, Bo Nickel's not going to be in the position to be...
I was going to say, he wouldn't be in that position.
Cody Brundage's best shot is to get an early knockout while, you know, before Bo Nickel shoots for a takedown.
Yeah, either be ready to load up a knee or try and land on the chin as he shoots. Who knows? But I don't think Bo Nickel put himself in that situation.
So people are pointing out that Cody Brundage does have a wrestling background, which is very true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close to Bo Nickel's wrestling background.
So they're not nowhere near the same level.
I think the issue when you fight Bo Nickel, the way you beat him is by being very... I don't know if anyone's going to be better than him in the wrestling. Like, we'll see if he fights Hamzat Chimaev at some point or something. But for Cody Brundage to win this fight, I think he has to be reckless, right? He has to be reckless and not get taken down while he's reckless. Because if he's standing there and he's trying to figure him out, he's going to be very timid. Bo Nickel has some of the best movement I've seen from, like almost a pure wrestler. You know, like, he's bouncing around. He's in and out. Like, Adesanya said this in his breakdown. He's like, he's very impressed by Bo Nickel's movement and his footwork. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, he's quick.
You know, I think Cody Brundage is going to be overwhelmed. And I think this fight's ending within the first 2 minutes. You know, no disrespect to Cody Brundage. But, But this is
a. Yeah, I mean, his takedown average I'm looking at right now is he's not even three takedowns per 15 minutes. So, whereas. I mean, Bo Nickel's never seen 15 minutes, so...
Bo Nickel hasn't seen 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's insane. I agree. Bo Nickel's going to get a finish. Like I said, I may just throw some money on Cody Brundage just in case. Can never be too safe. Let's jump into this next fight because it is one that we have both been looking forward to for so long.
This is my...
Is the return...
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is the most anticipated fight of the night. There's Gaethje and Holloway. There's Pereira, Jamal Hill, right? But for me, this one has insane stakes on it because I think the winner of this is getting the title shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Oliveira versus Sarukian. I cut you off in the middle of your introduction. Oliveira is plus 185. I'm going to say the same thing that I said about Dustin Poirier. There is no shot. Oliveira is the underdog. Like I said in that fight, anyone could win in mixed martial arts. Armin Sarukian is a very good fighter. His last win against Beneil Dariush was very impressive. But you know what Charles Oliveira did in his last win? He also knocked out Beneil Dariush in the first round, but that was before Sarukian knocked out Beneil Dariush. So Sarukian was potentially fighting a Beneil Dariush who had half the chin that Charles Oliveira fought, right? So yeah. I'm taking Charles Oliveira by first round finish. That's just me. I'm a huge DuBronx fan. I think he's going to be aggressive as hell. I don't know how Sarukian's going to fight off his back foot, because I can tell you right now, Charles Oliveira is not backing up. It's not happening.
yeah, he's going to come out with a flying kick at you. He's throwing the front kick. It's two, three of them to start the fight.
Like I said, anyone could win in a mixed martial arts fight. And it's weird because I think Charles, other than Islam, is the best fighter in this division all around. We'll see what Sarukian has to say about that. The issue I have with Charles is he does get reckless, and because of that, he's susceptible to big shots and counters. If he fights the way he did against Beneil Dariush, not so much accepting the ground position, even though it's Charles Oliveira, he's the most submissions in UFC history, most of them off his back. If he fights the way he did on his feet against Beneil Dariush, he's beating Armin Sarukian within the first two rounds. I'm just saying a first round finish. I'm going to rock with a knockout. That's just me. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think Charles is getting finished. I think we're going to watch another prospect get shut down early. Gaethje did it. Poirier did it. It's time for Charles DuBronx Oliveira to do it. I can't believe he's an underdog. That's crazy. It's like Sarukian didn't even have enough time to show us like what he was actually going to be capable of. I mean, he got that knockout and it was over from the start. That's the thing. It's like, that's why Charles is so dangerous. He's okay with getting cracked because he's that comfortable off his back. He definitely shouldn't be that comfortable with Armin just because Armin's showed how good his ground game is. I mean, he gave Makhachev a hell of a fight. And not only that, it was on short notice. I'm pretty sure that was his pro debut. You know, Armin's great on the ground, but honestly, I know you said Charles knockout, right?
Yeah.
I think Charles may actually get a submission in this one. I kind of see the knockout for the reason that Armin said, I'm not worried about Charles Oliveira's power or his punching. He's only good at one thing, and that's taking his opponents back, which is not even true. It's like, is that one thing he's great at? Yeah, he's Charles DuBronx. Of course, he's also good at taking people down. He has the most submissions in UFC history for a reason. But we saw him crack Gaethje. That's what led to the submission. It's like, that's the issue, is there's so much you have to kind of be aware of fighting someone like Charles. And it sounds like Armin is underestimating that, which is a really, really poor mindset to have going into that fight against someone as hungry as Charles Oliveira. We know how badly he wants that belt. He spoke about how when it got stripped of him because of the controversial weight, miss against Gaethje, where he had to vacate that belt, and then he ended up losing to Makhachev to try and regain it, which really sucked. And then he comes out and he kind of, like, I don't even want to say he controlled the fight against Dariush, but he did. One thing that was insane was that Beneil Dariush, with the amount of strikes he threw while Charles was on his back, he landed like 4 out of like 50 thrown. He was punching the canvas, and the commentary team definitely was letting him hear it the entire fight. They were like, all we hear is they're like, you can hear him just punching the mat because Charles was getting out of the way. I don't know if that was Charles being good at moving or Dariush not being able to hit him. But Charles was fine with being there because he wasn't getting hurt. But I don't think he can allow it to go that way against Armin. I feel like Charles might actually go for the submission just to be like, yep, you know what, you're right. I am good at taking my opponents back and choking them out, you know, just to kind of, you know, nail in the coffin. And then, unfortunately, is it another prospect that we see go down? Yeah. Could he give Makhachev a tough fight in a rematch? Definitely. That's that's the thing. It's like, I want to see both these guys fight Makhachev. And it's annoying that we haven't gotten to see that sooner. Because if Makhachev was definitely more active, at least against lightweights, we could have seen him and Charles get that rematch done earlier in the year. Or we could have seen Islam fight Gaethje earlier in the year. There were a lot of fights that we could have seen him do earlier, and that could have changed things, where maybe Islam loses that belt. Now Armin can get his rematch against Makhachev, and then if he gets that win over Makhachev, now you talk about a title shot there. That's a good fight to me. But, you know, it will suck if he doesn't get the win, but we love Charles so much. Like, all the love goes his way, because there's no hate against Armin. He's a great fighter. But we just love Charles way too much to go against him. And, I mean, he's showed us time in, time out. He's really one of the greatest lightweights to ever do it in the sport.
Yeah. I was saying this. I don't – same thing with Poirier. It's one thing to be an underdog. It's another thing to be plus 185. Like, Armin's minus 225. That is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. Maybe plus 120, like nothing more than that. And then to your point, if he thinks Charles is a one trick pony and is just looking for a submission, he's getting knocked out. Like, that right hand, Gaethje said that is the hardest punch he's ever been hit with. Look who's Gaethje's fought.
And he's fought some of the best punchers. He's fought some of the best punchers in the game.
He's fought Poirier twice. He fought Tony Ferguson, who is really known for his power, but he fought Tony Ferguson, Poirier twice, Eddie Alvarez, Cowboy Cerrone. He said Charles Oliveira hits the hardest. Who is Sarukian fight who hits hard? Beneil Dariush. He didn't land a single punch against him, which is to Armin's credit. But if he thinks he's going to go in there and dominate Charles on his feet, he's going to be surprised when that right hand lands and it shakes his skull. You know? That's just my opinion on it. Charles plus 185. Lock it in, boys. We're taking it. We love it.
Yep. All right. Let's jump into the next one, which is another lightweight bout. Number two lightweight Justin Gaethje takes on number two featherweight Max Holloway. I'm really hating hearing that Max is too small. This Max isn't that. People need to understand who Max Holloway is. I don't even know who's going to win this one. I'm going to be completely honest with you. This one could end in death, to be honest with you. These two just have insane chins. Like, Justin Gaethje gets clipped, but that dude can stay on his feet. I don't think there's a better fighter who can be unconscious on their feet like him. Because every fight he does a chicken dance a minute into the fight, maybe, and then Yuri. He can still Yuri get it might finished. Be the only one.
Because Yuri won a fight when he got knocked out cold.
But I'll let you start about this one. The BMF belt is on the line. The odds are pretty close. Minus 170. For Justin Gaethje, plus 142 for Max Holloway. But tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think I'm along with every other fan of the UFC, right? I love this fight, and I hate this fight. The only way I'm more okay with this fight is if Max Holloway stays at 155. Because if Max Holloway wins this fight and goes back down to featherweight, Justin Gaethje just lost out on a title shot, and the only thing that happened from it was he lost his BMF belt, and then Max Holloway goes back down to 145 like it was nothing, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's my take on the fight overall, like, just from an outside perspective. Now, let's get into the actual fight itself. When it happens, I'm terrified. I'm terrified for both fighters. Like I said, I don't think Max Holloway is going to knock out Justin Gaethje, but who knows? Holloway looks pretty freaking big right now.
He looks like he's in great shape.
I'm also terrified for Max Holloway. Maybe the chin finally gets cracked. But then there's the thing again. Like, the chin has never been cracked. Like, he's never gotten knocked down his entire UFC career. I don't know how.
Yep.
After that fight against Volkanovski and he didn't get knocked down once in that fight, I thought to myself, this guy's not getting knocked down by anyone in the UFC. Because he got punched probably 40 times every round clean and did not get knocked down. So, who knows? Who knows? If Holloway's chin holds up, could see him winning. But if this goes the full five rounds, I think Holloway might actually win this one. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah, they're both great volume guys, but I think Max is a little – his combinations are a little bit cleaner. Like, he gets a little bit more done with the hands. Whereas Justin Gaethje is going to kind of throw like a 1-2 and then throw a kick at you.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. I think Gaethje is a little underrated in his technique. Like I mm-hmm. if you watch that uppercut he threw against Michael Chandler, it was perfectly set up. Like the technique was flawless. The thing I have with it is he fought Dustin Poirier, and I don't know if Justin Gaethje's a harder hitter than Dustin Poirier, right? Gaethje fought Dustin Poirier on short notice for the lightweight interim belt when he was still a featherweight, and he was able to take the punches then. That was years ago, so who knows what his chin is like now, right? Who knows if his chin is on the same level as that? Because if Gaethje doesn't hit harder than Poirier and he doesn't put Holloway down, I think Holloway might get this one by decision. That's just me thinking Holloway is going to have higher output than Gaethje. I think we'll see a little bit more measured Gaethje, kind of like we saw against Poirier, right? Not really throwing crazy.
So like a little bit more technical issue.
Yeah, I think we might see Gaethje actually be the one to back up a little bit, right? Like the way he did against Poirier, try to bait him into like a counterpunch or something. But holy crap, this fight's gonna be a car crash.
Yeah, one thing about that is like Max Holloway, one thing that I've noticed in a lot of his last fights was he is very susceptible to that front leg kick. And I don't really know anyone who can take as many low leg kicks from Justin Gaethje as Max Holloway can like tends to allow. Just because he is heavy on the boxing. So he's not really a super wide stance. And he gets caught with those front leg kicks a lot. Which could cause some issues. I mean, it's Max Holloway. He still fights through everything. He acts like nothing hurts, which is absolutely insane. But yeah, I think the volume for Max will be a little bit too much, at least for the scorecards. But I do think that if anyone that Max is going to fight that could break Max's chin at this point is Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje does hit like a truck. We listened to that fight against Tony Ferguson with no crowd. And it's literally like hearing someone hit another person with a brick. And I definitely don't want to see that happen to Max. I hate this fight, but I love this fight. I think Max might take this one by decision. I agree. I think we're going to see a Max decision or a Justin Gaethje knockout.
Yeah. And let me say this. I'm actually very interested in a Max Holloway versus Islam Makhachev fight. I think Max's defensive takedown is underrated, right? Mm-hmm. Volk wasn't really able to take him down that much when they fought, especially in the third and second fights. So, yeah, I think him versus Islam is very interesting because of the length of Holloway, right? So, like, how does
a striking battle... takedown defense is 84%.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, how does a striking battle between these two go? Yeah, like you said, the leg kicks from Gaethje, that might be the X factor in this fight. Because Holloway is a boxing stance, very wide. And Gaethje, it kicks the hardest and has the best leg kicks. I will say, Volk's leg kicks are very good, but Gaethje's the hardest leg kicker that Holloway will have faced to this date. And, you know, that maybe Jose Aldo's up there, but he doesn't throw nearly as much as Gaethje. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes when they collide.
Yeah. Let's jump into the co-main event, the second title bout of the night. I guess it's your first championship belt, but... here we go. Zhang Wei Li against Yan. How is it?
Zhao Nan. Yeah, Yan Zhao Nan.
This, I think, is going to be an entertaining fight. Zhang Wei Li never has a boring one, really. She's so well-rounded, and I think she's going to win. I think she's just too well-rounded. And I think just because she can mix it up at any moment, and she has no issue with it. Like, if she feels it's, and she doesn't even like shoot for a takedown. Because she's not doing good on the feet. Like, she'll just do it just so that now you have to think about it for the rest of the fight. And she's also nasty on the ground with the ground and pound. And she's so freakishly strong for someone that is 5'4". What was it, a video of her? There was a video, what was it, her picking up, like, Francis or something like that?
Yeah, she picked up Francis Ngannou. She picked him up.
Like, he was, like, 115-pounder?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's not to take away from Zhao Nan. I mean, she's also excellent. She's great. Her striking's great. She had a great last bout. What do you think about this one, Kyle?
Yeah, so I it's hard for me to pick against Zhang Weili, right? I think she's going to win this fight, but I think it's going to be because of her ground presence. Yan Xiaonan has very heavy hands. Her boxing is very good. Like, she knocked out Jessica Andrade with one punch. I think it was like her second punch thrown in the fight. So she has the ability to do something on the feet. I just don't know how she is on the ground compared to Zhang Weili. And it's hard for me to pick against Zhang Weili right now. She's beaten everyone. Yeah. I'd like to see her move up the flyweight and challenge for that belt.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that division is very backed up right now, though, because of the champion the trilogy going on over there. But, yeah, I would love to see Zhang Weili move up and fight for a second belt. I'm going to pick her by finish. I'm going to say submission. I'm going to say fourth round submission, Zhang Weili.
I honestly, I'm going to go with like a third or a fourth round knockout from Weili. Her spinning back fists, her spinning back elbows, she mixes those in so well. And I feel like Yan may get trapped into coming in a little bit too much, or Zhang Weili is going to start making her like think that the takedown's coming. So she's going to kind of drop her hands a little bit, because once Weili starts mixing those in, that's what she's going to have to focus on, is not going back to the ground. And I think Weili will set that up. I think she's going to set a trap for it, and she'll probably land some crazy spinning back fist.
The thing is,
it's been a while since she's had one of those knockouts.
Yeah, Yan Xiaonan, it does have the height advantage, so I don't think we'll see something crazy like a spinning back fist, because I don't think she'll be able to land that on a taller opponent.
The height difference is only 1 inch.
Is it really?
I was actually thinking the exact same thing. I thought she was much taller. Maybe it's just because the last person she fought was Jessica Andrade, who's like 5 foot.
Yeah.
She's really short.
That's probably what it was.
But yeah, no, it's 5'5 and 5'4. So it's actually a lot closer, because I felt the exact same way until I saw this.
Okay. All right. Maybe a back fist is in play then. I guess
main
that's
event.
It for that.
All right. Yeah, let's jump into the main event. Light heavyweight title bout. Alex Pajeda against Jamahal Hill, -135 Alex Pajeda, +114 Jamahal Hill. I have Pajeda winning. I think he's gonna get it done on the feet. I think he may get a knockout. Jamahal Hill is a hell of a fighter. I love Jamahal Hill. He is one of my favorite fighters. Again, another fight that like I don't want to see, but I really need to see it happen. But Jamahal Hill's volume, I don't think he's going to be, like, scared, you know? I think he is definitely going to try and be pressuring Pajeda the whole time. But the issue is Pajeda is so good at counterattacks. I mean, his counterpunching is what gets him knockouts a lot of the time, is it's catching you kind of stepping in at him. But again, if Jamahal Hill lets himself get backed up against the cage, we saw what Pajeda did to Izzy. I mean, he flurried those punches. He mixed them up. I mean, even when Izzy was trying to block him, he's just too strong. Those punches are too strong to block. But Jamahal Hill can really box. I honestly don't think he's going to take the fight to the ground, like he said. He said he wasn't going to, and I'm going to hold him to his word on that one. I think he wants to give us an entertaining fight, and I also think he wants to definitely prove that he's the better striker, which is hard to really compare to, because Pajeda's now a He was a two-division champion, Glory Kickboxing, and now he's on his second belt in the UFC in only 11 fights. And he has 11 total fights. I mean, it's absolutely insane how good Alex Pajeda is. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, this fight could end at any moment. And I'm leaning towards Pereira just because of the kicks. I don't think Jamahal Hill is going to have an answer for it. I mean, he's joked around about it, right? Everyone has been saying the same thing. But Pereira, in my opinion, is the best leg kicker in the UFC. Not only that, though, his head kicks are sneaky, right? He caught Adesanya with one. It kind of rolled off, so it didn't really do a lot of damage. But his body kicks are good. It's going to be – I think that's what it's going to come down to. Obviously, whoever catches who with a cleaner punch to the head, it's probably going to knock him out, right? That's just what's going to happen. Now, listen, Jamahal Hill might have a little bit of a better chin than Pereira. Right, we haven't really seen Jamahal Hill get cracked on the feet like Pereira was against Adesanya. But, to be fair, other than Adesanya, we haven't seen Alex Pereira get cracked on the feet, right? He fought Yuri Brosk, and Yuri landed some good punches. but Pereira ate them.
Yeah. I do know, because Jamal Hill's only loss is when he got his arm snapped by Paul Craig. That's his only loss. So it definitely wasn't him being outstruck. It's just he went against someone who refuses to stay on the feet most of the time. So I think this fight could just go any way. That's how I feel about a lot of these fights, is so many of them can just go any way possible. This fight could be a knockout, or it could be a 25-minute absolute, you know, murder fest. It could be that insane. But I do think we're going to see a knockout. Both these guys are just too good to not. And it's nothing against anyone's chin. It's both these guys can punch so hard. And it's crazy because usually Jamal Hill has a good reach advantage on opponents. Not this time. They have the same reach, 79 inches. Pajeda has a half-inch leg reach advantage. But his kicks are, again, when you were talking about his kicks, I wanted to step in and say, you know, they're so sneaky because he doesn't load them up. Like, they just come out of nowhere. He doesn't throw the hip much. Like, it just comes out, and it feels like you just got hit in the leg with a baseball bat. I mean, so I definitely think that, you know, you could see him cause Jamal Hill's leg to be compromised early, for all we know. And that could be the downfall of that fight, which that could lead Jamal Hill into feeling like it's time to take the fight to the ground, which I don't think he should shy away from. Like, I don't think he should shy away from taking him down to a fight, because it is a mixed martial arts fight. It's not a kickboxing match. But, you know, I don't want him to be reluctant to not shoot just because he doesn't want, like, the boos from the crowd, which we've been hearing way too much at events. People need to understand wrestling is a part of the sport. Jiu-jitsu is a part of the sport. Fights go to the ground. That's just how it happens. Yeah, it's not my it's not my favorite style either. What was up?
Can I just ask you something? I don't – a lot of people are saying Jamal Hill should bring it to the ground. Do people think that Jamal Hill's ground game is, like, that much better than Alex Pereira? Like, out of everyone Alex Pereira has fought, they haven't been able to finish the fight there. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, he doesn't have any offense off of his back, but defensively on the ground, he's proven he could get back up to his feet, right? And you're not really going to submit him there. So I don't know if Jamal Hill even has...
I don't think he has a take... Dude, I don't even think he has a takedown in his career, Kyle. His takedown accuracy is 0%. His takedown average is 0.
Jamal Hill's is?
Yep. Alex Pereira has 100% takedown accuracy.
Yeah, he had one takedown against... who's against? Was it against Jan? I think it was against Jan.
It may have been around. Against
Jan. Oh, no, it might have been Adesanya.
It was against Adesanya. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, all right. So, to my point, I actually think Jamal Hill's best chance of winning is on the feet. Like, his best skill is boxing. Mm-hmm. Now, I just don't know. What plays to his advantage is Pereira's not the greatest defensive striker, right? He doesn't have Adesanya's head movement. He doesn't really block punches that greatly. Mm-hmm. But he's a very good counter striker. And he's not going to rush in the way Glover did against Jamal Hill, because he doesn't have to close the distance out, right? He can stay at kicking range, and he could win the fight that way. If you stay at kicking range with Pereira, your leg's getting beat up, right? Your nerve is going out in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
So do you think that Jamal Hill even has the wrestling to do that? Or do you think he's going to try to keep it on the feet like he said?
You know, for some reason, I also thought that Jamal Hill had way more of a ground game than I thought. You know, which he doesn't. So, yeah, I think this fight will stand feet. In all honesty, now that I'm thinking about it, who knows? Maybe Pajeda's been, you know, he's coached by Glover Teixeira, who's a great Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist, and he's Brazilian. So, I kind of thought that that's just like a part of growing up, is jiu-jitsu is a way of life. Maybe he takes the fight to the ground and tries to do something new. Imagine seeing a submission finish. That would be insane. I mean, he almost locked in a guillotine against Yuri, actually. I think it was in the first round when Yuri shot. He almost got caught in a guillotine. I know we kind of sat there for a second and we're like, is this actually about to happen? Is he about to win by a guillotine finish? Which we
Jan against Jan as well. Against Jan, he had the same thing.
So I don't know, maybe Pajeda mixes it up and maybe he takes a fight to the ground. Yeah. But no, I think this one will probably stay on the feet then. I would love to see a 5-round brawl, but I just can't see it going the distance. I just but I can.
I know Jamal Hill could do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Pereira could be in a 5-round brawl. Mm-hmm. You know, because when his fights are clean,
yep,
he wins them.
Yep.
He wins the clean fight.
That's why he won
the way Adesanya beat him.
That was yep.
The way Adesanya beat him, Adesanya made it ugly. But the first fight, when Adesanya was beating him for 5 rounds, it wasn't really in the striking. He was mixing and grappling. Yep. Adesanya made it ugly. Even Adesanya is this probably the second best kickboxer, or if he's not the best kickboxer in the UFC, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if Jamal Hill doesn't make it ugly and does dirty boxing. I don't know if he could beat Pereira like that, because mm-hmm. no one has really been able to yet. But then again, I don't know if Pereira would be able to take punches over 5 rounds. Like, I don't know if we're going to be able to see a 5-round brawl.
Yeah, because Jamal Hill has the volume. That's the thing. It's like he has punch volume. We saw it against Glover. I mean, that fight should have been stopped like 4 times, and it wasn't.
Now, listen, I'm not counting out either of their cardios. Mm-hmm. I'm talking more about Pereira's chin.
Yeah.
I think both of them, the cardio to go that way. Like, yeah. Pereira went three – he went the full 3 rounds against Jan Blachowicz in Utah and was on the ground for like a round and a half, right? Got back up and was still perfect, perfectly fine. In New York against Adesanya the first time in the UFC, right? He got out grappled for 3 rounds. The announcers were talking about how tired he was, and then he knocked him out in the fifth round.
Yep, fifth round.
So yeah. I think both of them will have the cardio. My official prediction will be Pereira by KO or TKO.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because I think the fight will stay clean. I don't know if Jamal is going to make it dirty.
Well, the thing is, Pereira's hook is nasty. His left hook is actually like kind of an in-close left hook. So I don't even know if you want to be able to be within that distance to catch. Because if you watch the first fight against Izzy, when he caught Izzy, it didn't even look like he actually got to hit Izzy with like a full swung punch. Like it's just so much power in close that, and he caught Izzy right on the jaw and put him out on his feet pretty much.
That's the thing about Pereira is he doesn't overextend. Mm-hmm. Like if you catch him, you're like, it's going to have to be in a flurry of his punches. You're going to have to be able to sit down mm-hmm. on one of your punches and catch him in between one of his, because his punches are short and they're to the point. And listen, I think the most I ever saw him wind up was that left hook on Sean Strickland.
Yep.
And that punch still landed in like half a second.
Yeah. Right?
Like no one really even saw it coming. He just planted his foot and Sean Strickland was out cold. So, yeah, if Jamal Hill's going to do it, I think he's either going to have to catch Pereira backing up
mm-hmm.
Or he's going to have to catch Pereira in an exchange, because – like I said, Pereira's counter-striking is really freaking good. And if you're backing up against him, you're going to have to do it the way Adesanya did. And I don't know if anyone else is able to do that other than Adesanya.
Yeah, Izzy has just like that speed. And I mean, I don't think Jamal Hill has that type of speed, which is like, if that's not an insult, it's that Izzy is just so good. I mean, any of these fights could go any way on UFC 300, both so excited that we finally get to see it. The wait is over. We've got media day was today. The presser is tomorrow. I think there's a press conference tomorrow.
Press conference tomorrow. All 26 fighters are on it for like first time in a while. Right? We're seeing like old time UFC right here. All 26 fighters are going to be there. Then we'll have the weigh-ins on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. It's going to be sitting down for 7 hours and enjoying every single minute of it, every second of it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And hopefully we get some cool announcements like we're hearing rumors of. But I think we covered just about everything for 300, right?
Yeah. Covered everything for 300. If there's anything else you guys would like this, you know, like us to talk about in the next episode, don't be afraid to DM us on Instagram or X. You know, it's just at the MMA Pulse podcast. So yeah, you know, we love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Real quick, we can look at a few things that happened this week. Tom Aspinall did an interview on the MMA Hour. He was in studio here in New York. A little bit, he spoke on, you know, who he thinks they might match him up with for the Manchester card. Could be Ciryl Gane, could be Curtis Blaydes. Ciryl Gane I mean, he's dismissed Tom Aspinall. He's dismissed Curtis Blaydes. It seems like he only wants a fight if it's the UFC gold on the line, which he's not getting another crack at the belt that John Jones is holding right now. I think he needs to challenge. I would love to see him and Tom fight. Who's to say that fight doesn't go any differently than how the John Jones fight went? But I think Tom would stay on the feet and probably knocks Earl out. He's too good on the feet. I would love to see Tom try and, get that loss back from Curtis Blaydes. I only kind of want to see Tom Aspinall and Ciryl Gane just because Ciryl Gane is an entertaining fighter when the fight's on the feet. That's kind of it for that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Ciryl Gane's not getting the fight. It's going to be Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah.
In August or July, whenever they make that. Ciryl Gane said, "I'll see you in September." to Tom Aspinall's not fighting in September.
I think I was hearing that it might be July.
Yeah, it's either going to be July or August. Right? And he says see you in September. Does he think he's going to fight Tom Aspinall in France for that belt? That's not happening.
Yeah.
Right? That's not going to happen. It'll be Curtis Blaydes. It'll be in the summer. Won't be in September. Ciryl Gane's going to have to fight someone below him. He said he doesn't want to do it, but listen, the only people above you are Tom Aspinall and John Jones, and they have the belts, and you're not getting another title shot right now because you lost your last two.
Right? Yeah.
You were up two rounds to nothing against Francis Ngannou and lost the last three, and then you got submitted in under 2 minutes against John Jones, and you didn't land a punch. You're not getting another title shot right now. You got to win at least one more fight, and it's going to have to be against someone below you, right? It's just what's going to have to happen. I love a fight between Tom Aspinall and Curtis Blaydes. I wanted to see it the first time. Tom Aspinall got injured, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think Tom Aspinall is the more skilled fighter than Curtis Blaydes. I think Curtis Blaydes is very powerful.
Yep.
But, Tom Aspinall has that power as well. So I think Tom Aspinall will finish that fight as well. I don't see that going the distance. It'll be a 5-round fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, that'll be a hell of a fight.
Yeah. All right, next, let's jump into this real quick. Relates to UFC 300, so that's why we're going to talk about it. Kayla Harrison has been getting, lots of interviews now that she's in the UFC. She was asked about, do you think they're going to fast track you towards the title with this win? And she was like, I would love that to happen. Raquel Pennington, the current champ, didn't like that. She thinks that is disrespectful to other fighters, this and that. Kayla Harrison's going to beat the number 5 ranked. So if she wins, she's in the top 5. What's to say that she doesn't deserve a title shot then? I mean, that division is moving slow right now. It's not looking great. So it's like Kayla Harrison is a fresh breath, hopefully. And, why not? It's a fresh face. And if she can have a quick turnaround, that'd be great. I think she should probably get a title shot after a win over Holly Holm, maybe. Everyone above her is in terms of I don't know if there's going to be any fights announced ahead of her. What do you think about that matchup?
I think her next fight, if she wins this, will be for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll announce Raquel Pennington versus Juliana Pena soon if Pena is healthy. That'll probably be for June in Newark, New Jersey.
Probably.
If I had to guess, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they do International Fight Week, which we said our thoughts on that. So I think they'll do June for Raquel Pennington against Juliana Pena if she's healthy. And if Pena is not healthy and Kayla Harrison wins this, she's going to have to suck it up because Kayla Harrison's getting that next title shot.
Yeah.
Right? Who else would get it in front of her? You just beat Buena Silva and no one else is coming off of a win, a noticeable one, right? Yeah. Kayla Harrison, whether you like it or not, it might be one win in the UFC, but it's against Holly Holm, who's ranked 5th.
Yeah.
Right? Juliana Pena deserves a title shot over her, but if she's not healthy, they don't want to keep that division held up. Then you do Kayla Harrison versus Raquel Pennington, right? I think for Raquel Pennington, there is some, there is some meat behind that statement, right? She has one win in the UFC. It's kind of like Michael Chandler getting the title shot.
Yeah.
But listen, it at the same time, it is a tough matchup for Raquel Pennington.
Yeah, I could see her not wanting that fight for a good reason.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight Kayla Harrison for as long as possible, to be honest.
So
I think Kayla Harrison's next fight will be for the belt. I think Juliana Pena in June for the belt. and then Kayla Harrison will fight the winner of that towards
probably towards the end of the year, possibly the fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick. Sean O'Malley tweeted. I think it was last week. Shug Tember. Are we going to see Sean O'Malley at the Sphere? Him and Marab. No,
he's not going to.
He
won't fight at the Sphere. They it's possible they do a pay-per-view in September towards the end if they don't do a Paris card.
Okay.
Then maybe we could see it. But if they don't do a pay-per-view in September, they're not doing O'Malley in September.
Okay.
Because they're not putting him on a fight night. The Sphere card's a fight night. They're going to lose money if they do that. Right? The main event of that will probably be Grasso versus Shevchenko 3, which I'm fine with, right? Grasso's Mexican. It's Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yep.
I think we'll see O'Malley in October, probably.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or maybe it's possible New York in November if they do that.
Oh, yeah. True. I think that's the card we'll see John Jones on, is the November card. I think he'll be probably headlining that one. I wouldn't doubt it. All right. Yeah, not much on that. We just over the last, like, 2 days, pretty much, Paul Acosta tweeted saying Strickland was offered a fight against him. Sean turned it down. Sean cleared that up on X and Twitter and said, you know, the money wasn't what I, you know, it just wasn't enough for a 7-week camp. And then today, Strickland had a meeting with the UFC, he said, and things went well. And verbally, at least on Twitter, he agreed to the fight with Costa. We'll see if that ends up actually happening. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Strickland to fight down. And it makes sense for Costa to fight up just because, you know, the UFC might be trying to push him a little bit just in case Khamzat gets fast tracked to that title. Possibly, you know, we've been wanting to kind of see the Costa and Khamzat fight for a while. Unfortunately, we didn't get it last time. What are you thinking about that matchup?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. There's not much to say about it. I'll believe it when it happens. I think they will sign it.
Yeah.
I don't really love it for Strickland, right? I said it earlier. I think he should be, you know, right there for the belt. I don't know why you put him against Paulo Costa, because I don't think a win against Paulo Costa gets you the belt.
Exactly.
At this point, right? He lost his last two.
Yep.
So I think, listen, I'll believe it when I see it. If they do it, I think it's too late to add that to the Brazil card, right? That's in a month.
Yeah, no shot.
This will probably be on International Fight Week, somewhere in the middle of the main card, right?
Yeah.
Second or third fight from the top. Probably. And if it does happen, I love the matchup, though. I think it'll be a very entertaining fight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last thing we'll cover real quick that got brought up the other day, I think it was yesterday. Ian Garry claims that he has signed a contract with a possible date. They have a date chosen. They're waiting on Colby Covington to sign a contract, according to Ian Garry. This would probably be targeted for UFC 303. This is a matchup that we were all waiting to see if it was actually going to happen, because they were both going back and forth on social media with the cringy videos, like insulting each other for no reason, more so each other's families for no reason. But I mean, it's a fight. I would love to see Ian Garry retire Colby Covington, to be honest with you. I hope this fight gets signed, and I hope we get to see, because I don't think it'll be a 5-rounder. It's not worth being a 5-rounder unless it did on like a fight night. But I don't think Colby Covington would sign to fight on a fight night. So, but what do you think about that? I think we've talked about it in past episodes, but you know, real quick.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about it before. Mm-hmm. I think it'll definitely be on a pay-per-view, right? You want these guys on the mic at a press conference talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that with a fight night. I like the matchup a lot. I just hope Colby, if he wins, I hope he doesn't expect the title shot afterwards, because he's not getting it.
Yeah.
And if Ian Garry wins, he's one win away afterwards for the title shot.
Yeah, and that could be fast-tracked depending on injuries, because that division tends to be consistently injured.
Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, who knows?
I think
great matchup.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that covers everything that we wanted to go over today, guys. Thank you for listening. You know, give us a follow. You know, interact with us. You know, comments, DMs. You know, we love to interact with you guys. Hope you all enjoy UFC 300 this Saturday, just like we will. Prepare for it. It's going to be an insane event. Best fight card on paper of all time. Let's make sure that it does live up to that hype. I'm sure it will. Thanks for listening, guys.